This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace makes it easy to turn your idea into a unique website.
Yeah, it's spring. It's the time when new ideas bloom.
They sprout,
yes.
Maybe
ideas,
you
romance.
Have a new spring romance and you want to make a website about it.
Yes, this sounds like a very good idea. It's not, but if there is any website you want to make, including that one, go to squarespace.com. I'm sorry I shot down your great romance, like mynewromance.com.
Oh, it's going to be my new serial novel. I'm going to put it out in blog form, and it's going to be called myspringfling.com.
Okay.
No, mollyspringfling.com.
Yeah, Molly's spring fring. Anyway, you know where to do that. You can customize everything. It's going to look great. It's going to be easy. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SPILLED to save 10% off your first purchase.
That's squarespace.com, offer code SPILLED. I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about handheld meat pies.
That's right. Also known as hand meat pies.
Yes, yeah. By some of us.
Or like meat hand pies. There we go.
Meat hand? Like meat hand sounds like club foot or like some old school, like middle ages.
People, like when people make a hand, like an individual size pie that you're supposed to pick up and eat, they call it a hand pie.
Okay,
right?
So I guess it could be a meat hand. It sounds wrong to me still, though.
A meat hand.
I understand the logic of it, but like as someone who was called meat hands all through elementary school, just because I was always carrying around a handful of meat.
Thinking it was because of your thick fingers.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember, so did you ever watch 90210?
Yes, not religiously, but I've definitely seen a number
of
episodes.
Were you more like a Luke Perry or a Jason Priestley person?
I mean, like what, in real life?
Like which one would you want to get with?
It would have to be Luke Perry, for sure.
Oh, okay. I was more Jason Priestley at the time.
He seemed so dorky to me.
He did seem so dorky. And you know the other thing
I guess approachable.
Yeah, but here's where I was going with this. He has thick fingers and like not...
This is the thing I would never notice in a million years.
I didn't like them. I'm a hand person. Matthew, what kind of person are you? You're like a boob and butt person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am a real like hand person. I'm a hand person for men and for women.
Like I feel like I'm going to get dangerously into the like yucking someone's yum territory.
I'm also like a forearm person. God, I love a good like sexy forearm.
Like
I'm not even kidding.
No, I totally believe you. And like the thing, like I've said this before, like I feel envious of people who are into feet. Because I find feet to be the most boring part of the body.
Well, at least you don't find them repulsive.
No, not at all. Like, I have no strong feelings about them one way or the other. But if I were really into feet or forearms or hands, I would get to see them all the time.
That's true. Well, especially hands.
Yes.
Anyway, oh my God, like beautiful hands on any gender. Wow. Super hot.
What? But not like thick hands?
No, not thick hands.
Not meat hands?
I like hands that look strong, and I don't mind if your hands are like They have to look graceful somehow.
Oh, so how are mine? My fingers are very short.
Your fingers are short. I prefer a slightly longer finger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
Anyway, but
so this
Jason
episode,
Priestley, bad hands.
Well, it's another one of Molly's signature hot takes. This episode, although possibly not this episode, was sort of suggested by listener Hannah, who what she actually said was savory pies, and we turned it into meat hand pies, apparently. Sorry, listener Hannah, and thank you, listener Hannah, for everything.
Oh, boy. Okay, so, I mean, we should say that this is going to be a real, like, high-level overview. And by high-level, we mean, like, only for really smart people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say only for really stoned people.
Oh, that too. No, this is going to be, like, a flyover from great height.
Yes, and such great heights.
And we will...
Come down now.
Stop it, Postal Service. And we will revisit other pies later.
Going postal. Yeah, so we're going to forget some pies. We're going to not say enough about some pies. We'll see how this goes. There's a lot of pies in the world. It's like when we did dumplings.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I feel like, in fact, America, or, you know, the U.S., North America, is not... Excuse me. Yep. Let me just clarify.
Okay.
North America includes Canada as well. I think it includes some of Mexico.
Yeah.
All of Mexico. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just going to talk about the U.S. here. I don't feel like we're known for meat pies.
No, you're right, I think. We're known for not for handheld meat pies. We're known for like chicken pot pie.
But like this is a meat pie that has a red meat in it.
Yeah,
and I don't think
I call it beef.
I don't think I've ever seen such a thing.
Okay,
before.
Well, I'm excited for you to try it. I feel like you might think it's boring.
Okay,
but I enjoy it.
Okay,
should we start talking about the meat pie I made right away?
Well, maybe we should go down memory lane. Well, I guess I just admitted that there are no meat pies on my memory lane.
Well, I think the only meat pies on my memory lane.
You know what's on my memory lane? Jason Priestley. Go
and,
on, Matthew.
And his hands, which are a couple of meat hand pies. So my only memory lane, I don't think I ate handheld meat pies other than like Hot Pockets when I was a kid, and we already did a Hot Pockets episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this meat pie, which is a Cornish pasty, I have memory lane from like early in my relationship with my wife, Lori.
Because, I think of her as a real Cornish pasty person.
Well, I mean, she is of in part Cornish heritage, Cornwall being the southwestern corner of England.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cornish pasty is their signature dish. And so like, when I was first dating her, her mom would make Cornish pasties, and she learned it from Lori's dad's mom, who grew up in Cornwall. And so these are like authentic Cornish pasties, which are a very simple potato and beef pie. And when you go to Cornwall,
there's something green in here.
Parsley.
Mm.
When you go to Cornwall, they're available in lots of different flavors, and there are bakeries that specialize in them. And like when you walk through Penzance, the whole main street smells like baking pasties.
Where does the word pasty come from?
I don't know. All I know is that it is often miswritten as pastry, which I always think is funny. And also, producer Abby said that it was making her uncomfortable that we kept saying it on the text chain because it was too much like panties.
Oh, I love talking about panties.
Well, producer Abby and apparently a lot of other people don't.
Other people don't?
No, people find the word
panty.
Like, it's one of those words that like skeeves people out.
Oh, well, I do. I mean, personally, when I'm referring to my own article of clothing, I call it underwear.
I think it depends on context for me.
Like if they're... So if you were...
And also like tone of voice.
If you were going to ask your wife if you could remove that undergarment... What you call it? Can I remove your panties?
Sure. Let's go there. Yes, that's what I would say.
Okay. You would use panties then?
I mean, we're really talking about this? Okay. Uh-huh. I feel like in the moment I would just kind of like, you know,
you would just kind of grunt and reach for them.
I just spit meat pie onto my microphone pop filter, which is
wow.
Super cool.
That's so cool. Oh, that phrase. I just spit meat pie onto my microphone pop filter.
Uh-huh.
That's a tongue twister.
I mean, I think in context, like, you would be more likely to sort of gesture at an article of clothing rather than say it by name, probably.
So you'd go, oh.
Yeah, no. I can say a lot with a hand gesture and a grunt.
I think I say most things with my eyes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. So how would you let's see what that would look like for the listener. Oh.
There was a lot of eyebrow.
Yeah,
raising.
A lot of like eyebrow and like side eye and eye roll. It was really a facial workout. Anyway. Speaking of which, I understand that just before this taping, you were at something called Ask Class. Is this true?
Yeah, on Thursday mornings, I take a class with Kate Wallach, who is a choreographer here in Seattle. She was the founder of Dance Church, and she just started doing a class at Velocity Dance Center called Ask Class, where there, you know, like there's a lot of... There's a lot of squeezing on the panty line.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said it was an hour long. That seems like
an hour
long time to be squeezing.
It goes really fast. It's kind of fun.
Okay. Are people of all genders invited?
Yeah, people of all genders are invited.
Okay, well,
bring
still
your yoga mat.
Going.
8 a.m. Thursday morning.
Okay.
Okay, everybody.
I was at a parent-teacher conference this morning.
Oh.
Which is different.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It
was... Oh.
I mean, not. I say that as if like my kid is in big trouble or something. No, it was fine.
Okay.
It was no more or less exciting than you would expect of a parent-teacher conference. Can we please talk about meat pies?
Okay, here we go.
Which is what I call butts.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
When it comes to bra shopping, Third Love makes it so easy. It doesn't, I mean, I think of shopping as like going into a store. It's too hot in there. You're looking for a salesperson. You get the bra on. It's at the wrong size. You can't find a salesperson.
Is it like that when you go to thirdlove.com?
It bears no resemblance. With Third Love, I can go on there. I can take their online fit finder, which helps me figure out the bra style and size that's best for me. And then I can order the bra. They ship it to me. I try it on in the privacy of my home. If it fits, I keep it. If it doesn't fit, I send it back and they don't charge me anything but the shipping.
Yep. It's so comfortable, you might forget you're wearing it.
It's amazing.
So to get your own, go to thirdlove.com/spilled milk and get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/spilled milk. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace.
And you know Squarespace as the best and fastest way to create a great-looking website that works great on any platform.
Yes, so what should we make a website about today?
Well, March is coming up, and with it, the beginning of daylight savings time. What's your opinion?
Oh, I love daylight saving time.
I actually do, too, and I think a lot of people hate it. So if we create a website about this, you know, we'll get a lot of community discussion.
Ooh, maybe we'll get
engagement.
A lot of traffic. Ooh, yes.
Oh, you know, with Squarespace, they have great stats, so you can measure your web traffic, your analytics. It's all built in, costs nothing extra.
And, you know, it's all optimized for mobile right out of the box. And you know that everybody is interested in reading about daylight saving time while they're commuting on the bus.
While they're outside in the sunshine,
yes,
that we're saving.
Exactly.
So you can create your own website, whether it's about daylight savings time or anything else. Use their professionally designed templates. It's going to be great. It's going to be easy. It's even going to be fun. And to do that, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SPILLED for 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
That's squarespace.com, offer code SPILLED.
My memory lane has some Cornish pasties from my 20s on it, and not much else. But in the intervening years, I have become very fond of handheld meat pies. Not that I'm sure I can define exactly what constitutes a handheld meat pie, because...
You guys have these on Christmas, right?
Christmas, we usually have Thanksgiving. So we do pasties, Thanksgiving, tamales for Christmas Eve.
Oh, man, I like your traditions.
Yeah, my meat pie is kind of falling apart here, which I can blame no one but myself.
Okay, so tell me about these, and then we'll sort of walk back and look at other meat pies.
So these are made with a simple short crust dough, like made with lard and butter or shortening and butter.
Did you use lard in these?
I used shortening because I didn't have any lard on hand. Mm-hmm. Usually I will use lard.
Mm-hmm. Does mama got shortening bread?
We're still talking about butts?
Come on.
And you roll it out.
Oh, no, mama's little baby.
Never mind. You roll it out. You put on the filling goes in raw, so it's pretty straightforward. You slice some potatoes. You put a layer of potatoes, a layer of cubed beef. I used beef chuck. Plenty of onions, salt and pepper, parsley. You roll it up and crimp it either on the top or on the side, depending on what your family tradition is. And this is one of those things they will argue about. Mm-hmm. Then you bake it for like an hour and then you eat it.
Wow.
And it's, I mean, the ingredients be more simple.
You put in all the ingredients raw?
Yeah.
Wow. And they all cook?
Yep.
Wow.
Because you bake it for quite a while. There's no way to like overbake a pasty unless you like, burn the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets nice and tender and like juicy and the flavors
it's really
meld.
Yummy.
I eat it with A1 sauce, which is my American substitute for HP sauce, which is what they often use in England.
Mm, I think I like it best on its own. I mean, you know, it is kind of, it's plain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is unseasoned except for salt and pepper, but I think it's delicious.
And of course, we'll put the recipe at spilledmilkpodcast.com.
Cool. Wow. Okay.
So let's talk about other meat pies.
Okay. So like what you've just served me today kind of looks like a big empanada.
Yeah, it does. And often, I think more often, I crimp my pasties on the top because that's how I was taught to make them by my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I think more often, actually, they're crimped on the side and then they look a lot like an empanada.
Okay.
So empanadas, like, it's a wide-ranging, diverse tradition of pies, savory and sweet pies that can be baked or fried and are enjoyed throughout Latin America.
Yeah, I think of
and
them
Spain.
As involving raisins. Sometimes cinnamon, like mm-hmm. a kind of sweet,
yeah,
warm
there's often
element.
Like that sweet, savory kind of Renaissance spiced
yes,
flavor
exactly.
to it.
Yep. So do you ever make empanadas?
I do. To be honest, I, like you, am a little cautious about the like sweet and meat combination mm-hmm. and will usually make more of a like American, like middle America palate focused empanada with like the meat and some of the spices, but not like the raisins.
Are you doing like a Tex-Mex kind of empanada?
I suppose so.
Although I don't really think of empanadas as it's not a Mexican thing. It's I think of it as, I mean, they do make
yeah,
them in
more,
Mexico.
More,
it's more like a.
But like really like
Central America
hits its stride like and like Argentina, Chile.
Yes. Oh yes, totally.
So
I love the idea of it hitting its stride.
Yes.
Like an empanada getting around and walking on little tiny empanada legs.
Oh, that would be so cute.
It would be so cute.
This is not a meat pie per se, but I've been to this town in Japan, Utsunomiya, which their like civic claim to fame is that people there eat more gyoza than anywhere else in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And so they've capitalized on this by putting up a statue of like a anthropomorphic gyoza and then like a bunch of other little statues all over town and like promoting like come to Utsunomiya and eat our gyoza. Mm-hmm. But the statues are so absurd and cute.
Oh my gosh. So are there empanada statues somewhere
in
America?
It seems like there's gotta be. Like I think for any staple, like signature dish that could be made into a statue, I feel like it's probably been done. I don't know if there's like a cassoulet statue. It seems like it would be hard to memorialize.
It seems like it would be difficult to get that in an upright form.
But I don't know. I bet we're going to hear from someone in Gascony?
Yes, Gascony.
Okay.
What is, what's your favorite empanada filling?
I
mentioned that sort of doing things but leaving out the raisins, but like do you do chicken, do you do beef?
Yeah, I like something chicken with a little spice that's a little like spicy heat and then also like some warm spices.
Okay. And I think of the crust, is it similar to the crust you're making for a pasty? Because
mm-hmm.
it certainly looks very similar and has a similar texture.
For sure, it is.
Yeah.
Although empanadas can also be fried, and I don't know if you would use the same kind of crust for that,
yeah.
but you could.
I feel like now that I know that you put this filling in raw, this is such a smart food idea.
Well, and the legend of Cornish pasties is that, it's not a legend, it's true, that they would be taken into the mines by Cornish tin miners and mm-hmm. would stay warm till lunchtime, because they really, like, before you cut into it, they will stay hot for a couple hours.
It's like the hot version of like a plowman's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's so smart. I wonder where the tradition of empanadas came from.
Well, I mean, I think the tradition of all of these things is okay. We've got some dough. We've got some tasty stuff. Let's put it in the dough.
Yeah,
because there's no like bright dividing line between what's a meat pie and what's a dumpling, right?
That's true.
Because you make a dumpling big enough.
It becomes a meat pie.
Like, because I was thinking, I didn't put Cha Siu Bao on my list of handheld meat pies, but it totally is. All right, so Cornish pasties, empanadas. Should we keep going down the
So Australian meat pies, which I the first time I ever learned of Australian meat pies was when I moved here to Seattle and I had an apartment right near Pies and Pints.
Oh yeah,
yeah, which was on 65th near Roosevelt. Is that still around?
Hmm. Sorry, I'm choking on a piece of meat. I don't know. I don't want to say. I think it closed, but I don't want to say that and then have it turn out that it didn't. So
Okay. But anyway, Australian meat pies. So wait, are they like baked in a container, like a pot pie? Or
yeah.
is it a hand meat pie?
So the Australian pies have like a pot pie shape to them, but are eaten by hand.
Okay.
And which I think is pretty cool. It's like, because I always kind of want to pick up a pot pie anyway.
There's a British version of this as well,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
It's like a pork pie, mm-hmm. isn't it? And that is a similar thing. It's almost like a pate that's in a crust, and it can be freestanding. You would cut a wedge of it. It's heavy as all get out.
Yeah. I mean, these are all heavy. They're all meat pies.
Yeah.
There have been several Australian meat pie businesses in Seattle. I think there's one, the one that's still operating is called the Australian Pie Company. Good stuff.
Yeah. Interesting. And is there a particular meat that is typical of the Australian meat pie?
I think beef is most typical.
Okay. Interesting. God, I find this so fascinating. I never think about eating a meat pie, but it does make so much sense.
Yeah, I would like it to be more of a thing. Or, I mean, honestly, it doesn't even have to be meat. I like savory pies in general that mm-hmm. I could, like, pick one up from a hot case and just eat it as I'm walking around mm-hmm. to be more of a thing. Because mm-hmm. all these things taste better if you're, like, out on the street walking around.
Yes, like this would
like
taste...
when you said empanadas, I imagined, like, going up to a stand, like the empanada stand at the U District Farmers Market.
Uh-huh.
And just walking down the street with some hot meat in my hand, like Jason Priestley.
I just imagined that I was in Argentina, maybe like, you know, out in some like open air plaza, mm-hmm. which sounded a whole lot better than being here in Seattle in the winter.
Yeah. But I mean, if you have a hot meat pie in your hand and you're walking down the street, for you, it's no longer winter.
Somebody's going to call the cops.
Okay.
So in terms of pierogies, which I've never had.
Pierogi is like a classic Seattle thing, I think.
Really?
Just because
it's down by Pike Place.
Exactly, because that pierogi place, pierogi, has been at Pike Place Market forever.
Mm-hmm.
My actual favorite pierogi place in town is Pierogi on Madison, which used to have a location on Broadway right near my house when my kid was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would get a pierogi and I would like feed her bites of filling out of the middle.
Okay, so how's a pierogi different from a knish?
A knish is like... A knish isn't like a handheld thing so much, is it? Or is it?
I don't know. No,
I guess it is. But I think a knish is being like potato filled usually.
Yes, okay.
The dough is different. Like a pierogi dough is like, I guess there are a couple different styles, but like either like fluffier or flakier than a knish, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, there's a relationship there.
Okay, so pierogis, is this a Russian thing?
It's a Russian thing.
Okay.
I would usually get the beef, cabbage, and cheese, I think.
And is pierogi, is it the same thing as pierogi?
No.
But different
country?
I
don't know what the linguistic relationship is. I think what are called, oh boy, I'm just going to like just put my face in it here.
Do it. Put your face in it.
I think what are called pierogis in some place are closer to what are called pelmenis in Russia.
Oh,
so like
okay.
a small, like pan-fried dumpling or steamed.
This makes sense.
Boiled or pan-fried.
This makes sense because the words all sound familiar to me, but not because I know anything about them.
Because a pierogi is kind of like a big, kind of fluffy doughed, baked, handheld pie. Doesn't have to be meat.
Okay. Okay. So wait, along the lines of like other baked ones,
mm-hmm.
what about Jamaican patties? Are those baked?
Yeah, those are baked with like a flaky dough.
Okay.
Or are they fried? I believe they are baked. So I love Jamaican patties. Have you had a Jamaican patty?
I've not had a Jamaican patty. What shape are they?
Kind of flat, sort of like flat, rectangular, pouchy shaped.
Okay.
And I used to get these when I lived here. They're a big thing in New York City. The most popular filling is spicy beef, and it's generally really spicy. And I used to get them at this place in Harlem called the Peacemaker Finger Lickin' Bakery.
Oh my gosh, that is a fantastic name.
It was like on the way to my subway station. And when main things I remember about them, they're delicious, they're super spicy, they're cheap. And like when you get them for like the first 7 minutes, they are deadly hot because they've come out of this hot case that is heated to like a jillion degrees. And nobody ever gets a Jamaican patty and doesn't burn their mouth on it, I think.
Yeah, I feel a certain amount of anxiety around the idea, actually, of walking down the street eating one of these. So when you presented me with this Cornish pasty, it was you and I split one. You cut it in half, put it on two plates. So, like, the hot air could start to escape and the molten lava inside could cool down a little bit.
The magma.
Yeah, the magma. So, but, like, if you were walking around eating it, there's no way in except to sacrifice your tongue for that first bite.
But, like, what is life without the little frisson of danger like that?
Oh, my God, but I hate burning my tongue.
And we know you also hate dental emergencies. you have a lot of mouth anxiety.
A lot of mouth anxiety, I guess. But I'm super fun.
What happened to you as a child? No, we know. You're super fun. You went to ass class. I mean, I'm not going. I'm not that
up,
fun.
Up, down.
This was the entire hour?
Yeah. So a lot of meat pies are fried, though.
Yeah.
Like samosas, which I also think of as an instant mouth injury.
Yes, samosas, very hot and dangerous.
So dangerous.
And less often meat than some of these others, but there certainly are, like, you know, spiced lamb-filled samosas. Mm-hmm. And samosas, like, here in the U.S., they're most closely associated with India and Indian restaurants, but samosa variations are found, like, throughout, like, you know, South Asia and all over Africa. And,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
You know, it's one of these things that, like, any time someone brought it to town, everyone was like, oh, yeah, these are good. We're going to keep making these. Mm-hmm. So samosa is sort of like a pyramid or tetrahedron-shaped fried pie.
Yep.
And the
crust, it's...
It gets, like, bubbly.
I was going to say it gets very bubbly. It's got this wonderful, like, airy quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're delicious.
I just ate, like, half a pie, and now I want a samosa.
I want another half a pie.
Oh, you can.
Oh,
we've
okay.
got another half a pie here.
Okay. So you were saying that samosas are also popular in Portugal and Brazil?
Yeah, apparently. Like of all of these things, like, and these are one of the most widely traveled.
And would they have spicing that we think of as typical to India?
I do not know.
Okay. 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 So wait a minute. Okay. To get back to baked things. So is it calzone a meat pie?
And for that matter, is it a calzone or a calzone or a calzone? Like, I guess I say no, I think I sometimes say calzone and sometimes say calzone and feel like I'm doing it wrong every time.
I always say calzone.
Yeah, I think that's how we say it in America.
In America.
Yeah, I mean, if it's got meat in it, a calzone is a meat pie, I think. But I want to do a whole calzone episode because I make them a lot and they're really good. Have you ever had one of my homemade calzones?
I have not had one of your homemade calzones.
Okay, can we like put a pin in that?
Again, I have like this mortal fear of calzones because like how do you
they're
get
very
into
hot.
They're very hot. At least with pizza, like the steam can come off of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you cut it in half,
but then all the stuff comes out.
And all the stuff comes out. You're right. There's no good answer for this. I think you wait around for a few hours or days until it cools down enough.
Okay. Cool. So when I come over for my calzone dinner, I'll come over around lunchtime and we'll just hang out.
Yeah, for like up to 4 days. These things, I think they were invented. You know the marshmallow test where like they made the kids sit next to a marshmallow?
Yeah.
I think this is that for adults. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you are capable of waiting until the meat pie cools down enough not to burn your tongue, you're
going to be very successful in life.
You're
going to
be very successful in life, unlike us.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Matthew, gosh, I'm not wearing a Third Love bra today, and it feels all wrong.
I can imagine. Like, I know that Third Love is the most comfortable bra you've ever owned.
It's true. What I'm wearing today, not the most comfortable bra. It also doesn't fit me as beautifully as Third Love, which has bras in sizes from AA to G.
So Molly, here's what I think you need to do. You need to go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get 15% off your first purchase of anything.
Except it's not my first purchase. I love these bras.
Oh, well, then the offer doesn't apply to you. Oh. But you listeners, if you haven't gotten on the Third Love train, you need to go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk and get 15% off your first purchase of anything they sell.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Clearly, you know, we forgot. Many meat pies
of
the world.
As our listeners have probably been able to hear, I know next to nothing about meat pies and have strange prejudices against meat and sweet spices.
And a mortal fear of burning your mouth.
And basically, I mean, what we're discovering is, I've just discovered that I like meat pies and I don't know if I can ever eat them.
No, it's fine. Next time you're coming over, I'll make a meat pie a couple days ahead and just leave it out on the counter.
Okay.
You'll be able to smell it from across town and just follow the trail of like cartoon steam.
Yep, I love that.
I burned my mouth on pizza the other night, so I mean, you're not safe just by sticking to flatbreads, is what I'm
That's
saying.
That's true. Okay.
Do you know the Nas song where he says, "At night, New York, eat a slice too hot, use my tongue to tear the skin off from the roof of my mouth"?
No.
It's one of my favorite lyrics ever. It like captures like everything I remember about New York in like 3 seconds.
It also reminds me of Celeste Pizza for One, which, yes, you remember was really gooey, and like it when you bite into it, the cheese and the kind of goo of the crust gets stuck behind your top teeth. And it's so hot and it's just stuck there and it's so moist.
Yep, I do remember that. So that was our meat pie episode. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post a Cornish pasty recipe. It's from my family tradition, but no, it's from my wife's family, passed down through the ages.
And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. And maybe you can weigh in and tell us, is that Australian meat pie place still open? The one that I'm thinking of.
When you say weigh in, that implies to me like give your opinion on something. Like, what do you think about meats and sweets? But no, just weigh in on a factual matter of, is this place still open or not?
Okay, let us know, is it open or not?
Yeah,
and then also, will you let us know where you go to have Australian meat pies in Seattle?
Mm-hmm. Majority rules. If more people say that it's not open, but actually it is, we're shutting it down.
Okay, wait. Also, is there a place to eat Jamaican patties in or near Seattle?
That I really would like to know.
I bet there's someplace near Seattle.
Yeah, I think I Googled it and then forgot what I found.
Okay.
So, yes, I would for sure like to hear about that because those things are delicious.
Yes.
And you can leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you find your podcasts. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Thanks for making us the filling in the meat pie known as your head. Thanks for making us the filling in the meat pie known as your heart.
Oh, I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Epster Burton.
Oh, that was just adorable. Meat pie, meat pie, meat pie. Meat pie, meat pie, meat pie. Pie. Yes, yes, yes. This is going to be my first meat pie. I've never eaten a meat pie other than chicken pot pie. Matthew, how long am I supposed to make this go on?